Welcome back to this week's Off The Record DJ podcast, and in today's episode, is it Goodbye Pioneer? There is a big, big DJ software update. And do you need social media at all? Roll the titles, Jamie, let's go.
Music, industry talk, stories, equipment and more. We are Crossfader and this is Off The Record. Off The Record. Off The Record.
Yes, gang, welcome back to the Off The Record DJ podcast this week with me, Lawrence James.
Me, Danny James.
And me, Jamie Hartley.
I thought I'd catch you out there because we don't usually do intros.
No, not anymore.
Hello, welcome back to this week's podcast. And it's been a little bit of a busy one in the office this week as we sort of wind down till Christmas. Everyone goes, well, let's just inject a bit of chaos. Yeah. So there's been a few bits announcements, a few fun things on Reddit, and a few things to get stuck into. We'll briefly touch on it because there's not much we can say and there's not much that's been released. So this week there was an email to everyone on Pioneer DJ's email list and also on the website as well. And it was from their parent group, which is now called Alpha Theta. I assume it's Theta, right? Alpha
Theta. Theta. Alpha Theta.
Everyone
Theta.
Said...
Theta, Theta.
Theta.
Omega, Omega.
Which was just an email basically going out saying, notice of service name changes to Pioneer DJ. From Pioneer DJ to Alpha Theta. Alpha Theta Corporation, the leader in the DJ industry, through its Pioneer DJ brand, will change the names of its accounts, support, and other services from December the 5th. The changes will be as follows. And basically changing, you'll get the emails you get now are going to be from Alpha Theatre account, Alpha Theatre support, and Alpha Theatre account.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something's happening. We know that this takeover from buying, acquiring Serato earlier in the year is dragging its heels, but looks like it's something's happening. Mm. So there's just something bubbling under the surface, isn't there? There's major things happening, and we think
probably like big business things.
Big business things that we're never going to find out ever. But you know, I think top level things. I mean, to think you know, like I say, we don't know anything, but to think about a world without Pioneer DJ sounds weird, feels weird. But we never know. We'll see what happens next year, and hopefully we'll just get into some chaos early next year.
please nothing before the end of 23.
So we don't know, and much else apart from that, but it is interesting, and we know that something's happening there, and this just sounds like things are ramping up. And
even like Serato's CEO put a big post out on LinkedIn recently. Really, like, there's obviously been some backlash with this. You know, we've already spoke about that Denon in music kind of went against him with, like, they're going to create a monopoly, and I think they went and filed lawsuits and all this kind of stuff. And I think Serato have put out a statement kind of hinting at that and what it could bring to New Zealand and their economy and stuff. So
sort of the history behind it and what it represents and the direction they want to take it and all these kind of things. So, you know, there's a lot of things bubbling under the surface, a lot of things going on, but I think, you know, in the DJ industry, any noise is good noise, and as long as everyone's pushing towards the same goal, which is, you know, making DJ more accessible, making it easier, hopefully trying to make it more affordable, which doesn't seem to be the case, but, you know, fingers crossed. But, you know, it seems like, you know, all the media attention that he's getting can only be a good thing, sort of a more generic thing. So, you know, to think about a world without Pioneer is very strange, but we'll see what happens in the new year. Fingers crossed. On more sort of positive news, one of the biggest updates like this year that I can think of, our friends over at Algorithm DJ, who, if you don't know, are probably the most, how do we put it? It's the most downloaded software in the world. However, it doesn't
apart from Virtual DJ, I think.
Well, I think in terms of downloads, it probably is still the highest from what numbers they've told us. But if you get Algorithm DJ, a lot of the consumers are the people that just have an iPhone, an Apple, or, you know, an Android, and they're usually in the top 10 of the Apple charts. They usually go and you say, oh, yeah, that's a fun DJ thing. So you download it for free, you use it once, and you put it away. So it doesn't mean they've got the biggest users of DJs. It just means they're the most used app in the world.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, they've over the past, you know, 3-4 years, they've been innovating and evolving, and they were, you know, one of the first people to sort of splash stems into the wider knowledge, and it's they keep pushing the boundaries basically. So in this new update are three new major things. They've teamed up with, remind me, Audio Shake.
Yeah.
Audio Shake, sorry.
Yeah. Apparently the leaders.
Who are the leaders. I mean, I've never heard of them, but they are the leaders of the music separation technology. And they sound amazing, guys. It does. It really like sounds ridiculous now. It's where we wanted it to be at the start, I think. Because when we first put the mix out for Algorithm DJ when their stems was released, it wasn't quite there, but it was still exciting because it was new.
Yeah,
you know. Sure. So we knew the possibilities, and I think that anything like this, you need technology to get to a point to be able to sort of process all this information. And
it just shows, it's like they come out with an innovation and then a competitor goes, okay, we've seen that people have found interest in that competitor's, you know, innovation, so we'll do our own version of it and try and better it. Serato did their thing, Virtual DJ did their thing, made the quality better. So then, you know, Record Box were like, well, we're like, you know, one of the most popular things, we have to have it in our software, so let's roll something out. And theirs wasn't quite up to, you know, the...
Still isn't.
It's not to the quality. But then obviously Algorithm gone, right, this is adopted now, so how can we make it the best?
And it does sound amazing, guys, and it is ridiculously fast, it's ridiculously clean. So all good things, and this again pushes it into the realm of, are we, you know, can we now start thinking about using our phones, using our iPads in clubs? The next one is probably the most useful one for working DJs, especially with streaming. So it is all about beat gridding. Now, beat gridding, as we know, is temperamental, especially with streaming, because it's got to do it on the fly when you're loading in tracks. And honestly, it's not great in most of the platforms. What they've done is they've scrapped the original system for how beat grids work and sort of built up a new AI system from the ground up, which means it sort of has three models within the software and how it learns. So is this a dynamic beat grid? Is it a 4x4 track? Yes. Okay, we'll apply this model to it. Is this done by live drums? So is it a bit offbeat? Yes. So this model works. And then the third model is, does it transition throughout a track? You know, is it different BPMs within a track?
Yep.
Okay, we'll apply this model to it. And all that means for the user consumer is that this thing is, I've tested it on about 50 tracks and it's got every single one right. I can't find a fault with it. So I've tried it on transition tracks, you know, the tracks that start off at 105 BPM and go up to 124. Tried it on them. I've tried it on some old, you know, funk and Motown tracks.
Yep.
And it's absolutely like bang on. 100% bang on.
So another big step forward for the technology in the industry, in the DJ industry. And again, it's because the technology outside of the DJ industry has evolved, as we're all aware, with AI.
Yeah.
So they've utilized, how can we, you know, include AI, but in a useful way, not just, you know, a ChatGPT way, but an actual useful way in the music industry. So that's where they've really built upon this. And again, I can probably see this will then hopefully roll out across all the other softwares as well, because they've pushed the industry forward again and given everyone a nudge to say there is a better way to do things. Here it is.
And you know what? I think beat gridding, not the sexiest topics, but when you're doing, if you're let's say an older generation DJ and you learn by ear like myself, you know, beat gridding has been a thing. It's, okay, it's come along, but, you know, you don't really pay too much attention to it. But, you know, when you start using effects and you start trying to mash up and all these, you know, stems are coming into play, it can throw you off completely if you're applying effect to a wrong beat grid. Then it just completely throws you off. And even mixing, if you're pressing, you know, you're quickly pressing sync in a mix or something, it just throws you off. So even if you're a beginner, right? If you're trying to mix with sync, your beat grids are off. So it is a big thing that they seem to have sorted out now, which is amazing, really. So that's the second thing. I think that's the fourth thing, actually. But the next one is this crossfader effects thing. Now, the big thing with Algorithm DJ, their cheat code is DJ Angelo, who is a former world champion DJ, turntablist, just like one of the GOATs, one of the top GOATs in the industry.
Shout out to Angelo.
Shout out to Angelo every time. Really, really nice guy and always pioneering music technology. And with his sort of style of DJing, he is able to like put together things that you don't know you need kind of thing. So basically this new sort of crossfader effects. And we've seen this with like smart effects in Flex 4. This is not a new thing, but the way they've applied it is really good. So yeah, essentially, you know, you can transition, and because the beat grids are so perfect right now, you can transition using a crossfader with loads and loads of different effects. The most exciting one, if you're an open format sort of turntableless DJ, is that you can sort of bring the crossfader, say you're scratching, you can bring the crossfader halfway and you can be scratching the a cappella it will instrumental deck one, say you're scratching deck two, you can scratch the acapella in of deck two, and then when you go right across the deck two, it'll drop in the full track.
Yeah.
All on the fly, which is just
so in
like,
the past, you'd need, like, from a record pool, you'd download something called an acapella intro, and they'd have to be pre-made by the record pool, and there isn't ones for every track. And they'd put the acapella at the start of the track, and then 16 bars later, the beat would kick in, and you'd get the full track, which allowed you to do this technique. Now you have this technique available across any track in your library and across streaming services, which is incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm super impressed. We'll definitely be doing some more coverage on it. It's so much fun to play around with. And again, it gives you an extra level of this new technology, such as stems, to take your creativity even further.
Mm. Yeah. Are you going to use a phone in a club? what about an iPad? Would you think an iPad a bit more stable?
Yeah. And I'd want to have my phone as a phone. I wouldn't want to buy a second phone to use to DJ off. No. I'd rather buy an iPad.
You'd rather buy an iPad or a laptop.
Yeah, I feel like iPads are kind of nearly there, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, I've used an iPad, I've used a laptop as well. But yeah, it's getting to that stage now of, you know, if you've already got an iPad, you need to go out and buy a laptop to DJ with it, if you're getting into it. Yep. But it is, the next phase of this algorithm DJ is essentially getting it to a point of stability where everyone's comfortable that this thing can handle all the workload, kind of thing. And again, without testing it and people using it in clubs and things like that, we'll never know. So, you know, I've got a few sets this weekend and I might just try it. I might just go for it. You know, what's the worst that could happen? Yeah. I might just start testing this because I find that every time I do an algorithm video, I find it's the most fun I have DJing. I say that all the time on every single video I've ever done. It is the most fun you can have DJing. I don't know why. It's got a...
Something about it.
Yeah. It's got a play element to it.
Yeah.
And because they're always feature heavy and the features aren't tacky or cheesy.
No.
They're always fun to use. Yeah. And I've just been using... There's a live remixer in it, again, which is like, what can we do with this? But, you know, with the rise of kind of, you know, Fred Agains and all this kind of thing, it's super simple to create live remixes, you know, without having any sort of musical knowledge. It'll sing.
I feel like there's a mismatch with Algorithm as a company and the DJ app. They're great at giving the total newbie, the person who's never touched DJ equipment, doesn't know anything about DJing, giving them some hands-on, you know, fun. And then they're also good for DJs who have a lot of experience, who can like dissect the app and really find the best of it because it's got so much in it. But there's a middle point in that journey, the intermediate years, the DJs that are going from bedroom to wanting to work in the club, where they get lost. And I think that's where they're sort of struggling at the moment, is that the adoption kind of falls off because people move on to Rekordbox and Serato and things, because that's just what's seen in the club. So there's definitely some growth to be had there, I think, for them as a DJ software.
Yeah, guys, we are live as usual on YouTube, Facebook, etc. So we always like to answer your questions. So one of our topics today is, do you need social media to be a successful DJ or to get gigs or, you know, to blow up, to be famous, to be at Coachella? Do you need social media? So get involved in the chat and also ask us any questions, and we're going to get to some questions that.
People are excited.
Oh,
yeah. I've got people excitement? Here like, this will be interesting. I make music and DJ, but I hate social media.
Ooh. Hello.
People, one question. Why aren't my DJ mixes popping? We'll get into that.
Okay, interesting.
Yes. Nowadays, anyone becomes viral or gets gigs just thanks to social media. No skills, brackets.
Well.
So there's a lot of,
Let's get into this.
Juicy.
So we put out, if you haven't listened yet, you probably have done, if you haven't, Chapter and Verse came back last week. It didn't come in last week, but the podcast went out and the YouTube video went out last week. And we did a Q&A. Basically, the first podcast went so well, and did so crazy that he was like, I'm getting so many questions, and we were as well. Let's go around two. And we just changed up the format a little bit, and he read out his own questions and answered some questions that you guys asked personally. So one of the questions that's gone viral again is, you know, do you need to be a successful DJ? Do you need to be good at social media or make DJ content to be a successful DJ? And this is not the first time we talked about this on the podcast. But it is a very interesting topic because there's a lot of different levels to success.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways you can use social media. And it's not one size fits all. And this is a great thing, is like having this open format to have a debate. Let's all, you know, talk about it. Sometimes it gets a bit touchy in the comments and things like that, which is fine. Yeah. But I thought we'd just get to some comments, and I can see some flying in now on the chat as well.
This is a hot topic.
This is a hot topic, right?
I'll read some out soon, but we will.
So chapter and verse basically is his take. His take, and again, it's his journey, and that's why we have people on the podcast that can tell their own journey, and you can only really talk about your own experiences. His take is, you know, absolutely not. You know, people want to know what you're doing all the time. You need to get fans. The only way to get fans is social media. And there are some interesting comments for and against this argument. So some of the comments online are, you know, I know many DJs that are successful and don't post content. This is absolute rubbish, which is fine. Again, there are, I can name you eight to 10 DJs now in my scene that don't post anything, yet they play 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yep.
But I suppose you only see the ones that are posting if, you know, unless you have good, you know, a lot of connects in the DJ industry already.
Yeah.
You're only seeing the successful ones because they're the ones you're following on social media. So that's created the narrative of, okay, every top DJ is amazing at social media. And I suppose that breaks down that thing of, you know, in your local area, I bet you can all name a couple of DJs that probably don't do much on social media.
Yeah.
But I wonder how long they've been DJing. That's one of the big things. Mm. There's a lot of DJs that maybe don't do much social media, but have been in the game a long time. Probably from before social media became the thing it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that is a blanket rule. Obviously, there will be new DJs out there that get the right connects and have a successful career and do barely anything on social media.
Yeah, so definitely. This comment sums it up, I think. It says, it depends on your definition of being a big DJ, in inverted commas. If you want to play at festivals and clubs, then yes, you probably need some sort of social media success nowadays. If you want to earn lots of money as a wedding or event DJ, then it's not necessarily a thing that you have to do. I just started my DJ Instagram account about 2 months ago and earned quite some decent money for the last 8 years, mainly based on my personal recommendations.
Yeah.
So again, it is depends on your industry, depends on who you know, and it all depends on you. But I think the thing is, you know, there's a few comments like, there was a comment of like, yet there were big DJs before social media, which is a bit of an irrelevant argument.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's not relevant now.
It's not relevant. Somebody's saying, you know, Carl Cox doesn't need social media. And it's like, well, we're talking about do you need social media like right now to propel yourself to get gigs, to get to that next level? You know, if Carl Cox started DJing a year ago and wasn't posting anything,
he wouldn't be who he is.
He wouldn't be exactly. Carl Cox, right? So there are some sort of irrelevant arguments to this point.
Yeah.
But again, it does come down to sort of like, what is your success? So chapter and verse is talking about, you know, he's you know, doing crazy numbers, he's doing albums with Steve Aoki and all that kind of stuff, he's on a different level. That's just his own personal journey, and his fan base has been built through content. You know, he's a very personable guy, very direct.
People like that
So he is speaking from his own perspective. You know, but there are, you know, big famous global famous DJs out there that don't post anything, and maybe it's about music, and if you can get your tune on a radio and you get radio plays, maybe that's a thing for you. There's a lot of comments.
There's so many.
Right. Should we get to some?
Yeah.
This is a hot topic.
Someone on YouTube here says, social media has become the backbone of club DJing, and then followed up to say, I have heard plenty of stories of promoters turning down new talent based on them not having X amount of followers. What do we think to that? Is that a good thing or not?
I kind of don't agree with it fully, because I think if you're a good DJ, you're a good DJ. Just because a DJ has more followers than another doesn't mean they can hold a crowd and please it.
No, but the promoter isn't thinking about that.
Exactly, but that's bad.
Yeah. So social media is painting a picture in a promoter's mind to go, they can't be a good DJ if they don't have enough followers. And this is almost a narrative that has been, you know, built up in the industry as well. So this is another side that you've got to think about. It's 100%. Like, even if I don't like social media, the people that are booking me want to see social media. Yeah. And that's their narrative. So you've got to kind of like, well, they're the people that I'm trying to impress. So how do I like impress them?
I've told this story before. You know, I was a working DJ for about 8 or 9 years. I was getting paid between 150, 250 quid a gig every night, 6 nights a week. And then when I started making content, I went viral. I then started charging £750 for an hour.
Yeah.
That's just the reality, because people look at it and go, well, he can bring at least 100 people to my club. Yeah. That's £5 a ticket, 100 people extra. You know, I get my money back.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Rami said it here. You can make it locally without social media, but you'll 100%. Never get gigs for larger events, foreign opportunities, etc. without it.
Yeah,
I think that
true.
Sums like up what you said really well.
Big time.
Paints
exactly.
that picture well.
Yeah. And there's big DJs I know are in the sort of the corporate world making crazy money, and they just got a word of mouth through the corporate world. They don't really post about it. But I know, yeah. I know they're doing like big boxing events and big charity events, and they're playing at like Man United parties and all this kind of thing. It's just because they know the people that they know. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
The same person said here, think about it like a 9-to-5. Mixes are your resume. Social media is advertising, and going to events is networking. Yeah. They need all of them to work together.
Yeah, this sums it up perfectly. Yeah.
This is an interesting take from friend of the podcast, Jordan Lee. He put, I respect his answers, but it definitely relates more to the EDM DJ producer scene. Some of my favorite DJs hate social media, but are still booked and respected by everyone. If they made content, they'd be bigger for sure, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it more of a, for lack of a better word, EDM scene? Is content's content.
I feel like this is like a line between where it's like a DJ and an artist.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, yeah, you know, it. Like a DJ to a lot of people is just someone who plays in like local nightclubs or like weddings or birthdays or something, where a DJ to some people is the guy you see on the main stage at Coachella.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, we've said it many times, the name's James Hype. Like, do you know him because of his music as an artist? Yeah. Maybe. Or do you know him because he doubled down, tripled down, went crazy on social media, on YouTube during lockdown, put graft in and put himself out there, so that he's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
And that has made him what he is to a degree, that, you know, showcasing his skills, but really leaning into social media.
Do you know DJ Khaled from DJing?
No. One thing I think about social media though is it play into people's personalities? Because when you talk about like wedding DJs, you don't see a lot of wedding DJs have social media, but like Nick Spinelli, who kills it on social media, it's like part of his like personality. Like he's got the personal side to do that.
Whereas
there might be some wedding DJs who don't have like the confidence or like that's not who they are as a person.
Okay, so back in the day when I was like using social media to try to get more gigs, I was also not in front of the camera every day like I am now at Crossfader. And I was nervous to be like, put myself on camera. So I used to hide behind my skills. So it's a different approach, I think, whereby Nick Spinelli, you know, he's a great charisma.
Yeah.
He can get in front of the camera and talk and be a great, you know, personality, and also has great skills, you know.
Yeah.
But he uses social media in that way. Whereas I would have not been the person to like engage face to face with social media. I'd have used it to go, okay, watch how, you know, skilled I could be behind the decks and use it in a different way. So I think, yes, you can play into your personality, but your personality doesn't have to be forward facing. Your personality could come through the music. It could come through your skills.
Yeah.
But it's still just another outlet to share that. And I don't think it is just the EDM scene. I think we see a lot of it from the EDM scene because it's popular there, but the underground scene will have its own pockets of social media, but maybe it's in Discord. Maybe it's not actually on Instagram, but it's still a social, you know, environment on the internet.
100%.
And it, you know, you don't have to play into, okay, my scene is, I need to find them on Instagram. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe it's Reddit, you know, but you're still using the networks to promote yourself.
Yeah.
This is a good comment. I've had gigs because of the content I posted. I've lost gigs because of the lack of content I posted. Mm. I've also played events and festivals through my relationships and DJ ability. It's not all about social media content, but it does help.
Yeah.
Posting bad, irrelevant content is worse than posting nothing at all. Don't prioritize content over mastering your craft and building a network. Now, it depends what bad content, you mean by bad content.
Maybe that's just like posting any random thing.
Yeah. But I don't know if I agree with this, because I feel like,
you know, it's better to stay in the eye rather than disappear.
Yeah. And especially with like the rise of TikTok, where you need, it is a bit more, you know, less flashy, and it's a bit more supposed to be raw or authentic, and people just want to get to know you and they don't care about it being on a 4K camera and anything like that. I think a lot of people, we struggle with this because we like fancy stuff. we like stuff to look really nice.
Yeah.
And for us to just hold up a camera and record and then it just post it is hard, because we like to get an edit and we like to add transitions and all that stuff. Whereas a lot of the really successful DJs are on social media are just posting something every day.
Yeah.
They're just there every day. Whether it's just like, hey, here's my new tune, a clip, boom, next tomorrow, you know, here's what I cooked today. Do you know what I mean?
Just,
at least they're there, and they're there. And Chapter Reverse, I think, he's really good at this. You know, he's there, he shows up on stories every day, he's in comments every day. I go on any post by a DJ and he's in the comments. And that's another part of it. That's like, you don't have to be thinking about posting something every day, but can you be active in your network? Because that's another that's another skill in itself.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. is just being visible to everyone at all times. And that's some that's maybe an underrated and something that we don't sort of lean in and talk about enough. But that just being just showing up every day, like posting and commenting, all that kind of stuff, is goes a long way.
I think to back that up as well is like people need to realize that people buy into you as a person. Like you know, when you go on like Fisher's Instagram, for example, you won't just see videos of him DJing. Like the other day, he put a video up of him going into a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not DJ content, but people buy, will watch that, the whole thing, because they just like Fisher as a person. And 100%. It's like,
I've said it before. I'm not, I don't, on my Spotify, I don't listen to Fisher, but I watch every single post he does.
Yeah.
Like I'm not bothered about his, personally his music, but I love, I just think he's hilarious.
Exactly.
It's entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got a good like, conflicting argument here, so
it's
not necessarily, but it raises 2 points really well, I think. So someone on YouTube said, so many social media DJs without talents but with many IG followers, just dancing and only pressing play or playing some pre-recorded songs.
Okay, that's fine, but their talent is social media. This is where we're getting blind, this is where people are getting blindsided by it, is what you're saying is you've got DJ skills but you don't have the social media skills. So no one person's better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's but if you can do both, then you win. You win the game. Yeah. This is what people get really struggled with, is like, yeah, I'm a great DJ, but I hate social media. I'm not good at it. Yeah. Whereas this person can't DJ at all, but they're really good at social media. Who is actually winning?
I think like, you can almost you like not I mean? Think about them as DJs. It's like if you were to be brought, if you were really into fashion as a kid and you went to uni and did it all and you were really wanted to get into the fashion industry, but then you saw like someone who'd been on Love Island on TV getting a fashion advert like a week
getting
later,
a brand deal.
You'd be mad at that because they don't really care about
They're
it
not
in the same way as you do.
Hours.
Exactly. You kind of got to like, in your mind, you have to separate it a little bit from like, right, you're a passionate DJ to your core, but these people are the difference of that, you know, but it's in like, your field.
Yeah, it's like influencer DJing.
Yeah.
You know, which I know people hate, it's a trigger word that, but it is what it is. And it's like,
it's not
like,
going anywhere.
Yeah, don't get stuck in your bitterness about it, because it's just it's just another skill. It's marketing. Like if influencer weren't a word, it was just marketing, you'd probably feel a bit better about it.
Yeah.
But it's just like people are good at marketing and maybe not are good at DJing. People are really good and vice versa. What's so conflicting?
Well, it's just saying if you don't care/want social media, you're not allowed to then complain when a 19-year-old posting transitions on TikTok blows up.
Yeah.
Yes, people made it without it, but it took forever and beat you down. Yeah. This is exactly what you were saying. Exactly. It's like, you know, it's just with the times, what, you know...
What's more important?
Yeah, you've got to kind of move with the times and adapt to what is current right now. What is the inroad?
Learning to DJ and finding music has never been easier. It's very simple. I can teach you how to DJ in 2 days with the technology and all of the things on a controller, your beat grids, your sync button, all that stuff is super easy to do. And then you've got a streaming account, you've got a million songs there. So it's not like it was when you used to go and find and hunt for tunes all day. That's still on SoundCloud and stuff. You can still do that.
Yeah.
But you go and used to hunt, and it used to be an art, and you know, you used to like mix on turntables or early CDJs, and it'd take you weeks to learn, all that kind of stuff. That's kind of gone. So
evolved.
To be a compatible DJ doesn't take much time.
Yeah.
Whereas being a, you know, good at social media is an art, is a skill and a thing that's very difficult to do if you don't have the personality for it.
Right. Someone said here, so I want to address this. Ooh. Someone said, to add to the comment about social media, a female DJ went viral for her photographer zooming in on her in quotes, DJing, but the CDJs were all switched off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like,
okay. So there's a different side to DJ, like any industry, right? Yeah. People can attach DJing to what they do to kind of have an outlet, right? But they're a model. Okay. Let's just say it. They're a model that are exploring different avenues of income.
Or been on a TV show, or, you know,
and I get it that it feels like it's an attack on what DJing is in the DJ scene. But don't focus on that. Just focus on what you want to bring to the scene, what you're doing, not what someone else is not doing.
Yeah.
Because if you focus all your energy on that person, then that's the thing that's going to be the forefront of the industry, because you're putting attention there. But if you put your attention on the good DJs, on yourself, on your skills, then that's what the industry will become. And if you're going to stay mad at it, like, it's going to happen over and over again, and you're just going to be in this cycle of being angry at the scene.
Yeah,
and
there's
always going to be something new. There's going to be a new sync. There's going to be a new do this for you, do that for you. There's going to be someone that makes it that you think shouldn't make it, there's always going to be that hurdle.
But if DJs
it's
like
your
that,
mindset, you've got to overcome that. Like.
Yeah, for sure. And if like DJs like that want to keep the real DJing alive, it's like if you focus on that, you're keeping it alive by doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what you need to do.
Yeah. So just like if you think real DJing is two vinyl and a two channel mixer, don't shout about it and don't tell other people that it's wrong if you don't do that. What you do is you just do that. Yeah. And you share it.
Represent
and
it.
And you represent. Yeah. But don't talk about it, do it. Yeah.
But then if you're not getting any gigs, you can't be complaining.
No.
Yeah.
Because if you're not filming yourself doing it.
Hey, like, some of the best, biggest YouTube DJ videos are people in their bedroom filming with a beautiful camera, digging through
crates
of vinyl and mixing pure vinyl for an hour.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing music. The selectors. Amazing. They are not being super creative. They're the opposite of, you know, our content. You watch it in 10 minutes and we're trying to push the boundaries of creativity. That content is an hour long and it's long blends, listening. Long mixing, and it's tune selecting. It's a total different side of the industry. And is one right and one wrong? No. You know, it's just a different side of the industry. But you can lean into that. You can think, well, that's real DJing. So, you know, you could still utilize social media to showcase real DJing.
I woke up to a comment.
Are we getting angry right now?
I woke up to a comment. I woke up to a comment on our TikTok post yesterday that just said, man, this isn't house. This is techno, and this isn't real DJing. Something like that.
Yeah.
And I just thought,
this is a genre.
It's 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Like this is a you problem.
If you're worried about what's house and what's techno, you need more problems in your life.
Right. Let's light the mood.
We should. Yeah.
Let's light the mood because I'm gonna moving punch on. Somebody.
Right, it's hot in this room. I'm just going to turn the heating off.
You go turn the heating off.
It's raised the temperature.
Do you know what I do when I get really agitated? It's like, just think, you know, what would Snoop Dogg do?
Ready drama, it's all over the place. People arguing, fighting, all up in your face. Ready drama. Ready drama.
What's with this backspin thing? The anger. Let's keep the anger.
What a segue.
What's with the whole backspin thing? What's with the whole backspin thing on every set I listen to online? The DJ drops an ID banger. An ID banger? A DJ drops a banger and then backspins it out to replay it.
Yeah.
I get the idea if DJs use it rarely, but I swear everyone is doing it more and more. Once in a set, in my own personal opinion, kind of ruins the flow and seems overused.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the comment of the year?
Yes.
Go on.
In the UK, they don't let us leave school until we can backspin properly. listen, we don't need to get into debate about that one.
No, that wins.
That's just fun.
Thank you for sharing
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
One. Made my listen, day.
Backspin, again, it goes on to what we're saying.
We covered this with the whole, when we were talking many episodes ago, about the whole Skrillex, Fred Again, and Forte, Madison Square Garden, like the comments about that and about the pull-ups throughout that and stuff. Anyway, amazing.
That's hilarious.
You don't need to go into that one, guys. You're still lighting the mood. It goes into what we were saying. Backspin, don't backspin, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want
to
do.
Just fly over to the UK, go to some underground venues and just have fun, mate.
Yeah. And
you'll understand.
You know, it is.
It will make sense then.
Yeah. You've never really witnessed the joy until you've seen a live backspin. Yeah. You don't get the same thing watching it online.
No.
If you've been at the front of a DJ show
and a pull-up happens,
where a song is so good enough that you just want to, you just scream it at a DJ to pull it up.
Yeah.
It's like one of the most pure things you can do. That one, slapping another DJ's head.
Yep.
It's like a rite of passage.
It's almost like a sign of respect.
It's like respect. 100%. Yeah, it is respect. If you've never backspinned, then you can't DJ. right, listen, there's so many. I've gone into the trap
we're gone.
Being a hater DJ.
telling everyone to not be haters, and we're there like some,
you know,
mouthing
what?
Off.
Forget everything we just say and just hate on everything.
Yeah.
Let me see your hate comments.
We have this outlet to just spew it for an hour. Are we any better than the commenters?
I've actually gone really lightheaded, right?
I told you it got too hot in this room and the debate got too heated.
Too hot. These headphones are too tight.
Right, what are we doing?
I just want Pioneer back.
I just miss her.
Right,
we're all feeling a bit lightheaded and queasy. If we pass out, just ring someone, send help.
Let's do a game. It is time for Crossfaders Chat Challenge.
I forgot the energy.
I know. I'm flagging what's happening.
Sweating.
I've just had an espresso. I'm tired, but I'm full of energy.
I think that's what happened with me as well.
Guys, right. Crossfaders Chat Challenge, if it is your first time listening to the podcast, we do apologise. And go back and listen to it. All the rest
chaotic.
Of them are proper nice, like really friendly and upbeat, and we have nice chats and give you some advice.
Right,
no, I don't think we've given one piece of advice.
hopefully we've ticked the entertainment box this time.
Crossfaders Chat Challenge. Basically, the boys are going to work together. They've got a chat of 1 to 7.
Yep.
7 being the lowest, number 1 being the highest. And I'm going to play them 7 songs in 7 random order. Once a song enters the chat, it cannot be moved. And we'll see what the chat looks like at the end of it. This week's theme is Electro House.
Okay.
Of the early 2000s. Jamie, I listened to a podcast the other day where you requested it. I thought, that's a good one.
Yep.
So, Electro House, like this. Yeah. Remember this?
Put your hands up.
Yeah.
Is this number one? Is this an example? Or are you?
This is the track. This is the track. Did this invent?
Did
this invent electro?
Exactly.
One of them.
100%.
I don't know. Genre is a very weird thing.
I think Love Don't Let Me Go. Where that was that coming in?
Where's this going? Put your fiddle on the ground.
It can't go any lower than 3.
Yeah.
Still slaps, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What's everyone saying in the comments? Put your hands up for Detroit. We're going to go with number 3.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments where you would put it out of 7.
Comfortably 3.
Comfortably 3?
Someone said 2, yeah.
It's up there, man. It's one of the originals.
Someone said, man, it's been a minute. Jamie, you let your hair grow?
Oh, yeah, it has been, yeah.
Where have you been?
Look
at them. Look at this.
Yeah.
I'm now scared to cut it. Yeah. It's grown so long. I'm attached.
Keep going.
Next one.
Oh, Body Rocks.
Woo!
Is it Body Rocks?
Yeah.
Body Rocks,
yeah. Got it on.
Oh.
Oh. Well. Start of my clubbing era.
Hello.
These comments sounds are iconic.
This is kind of back, you know, new Sunny Federa, new MK, the sound's there.
Yeah.
Are we saying 5, 6?
Oh my God, really?
5.
Really? You think I thought you put that at 4.
Okay.
Oh my.
What's the title? It's Body Rocks and...
Yeah.
It's not the vocal one, is it?
No, it's the best one. The vocal ruined it a bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Commercialised
it.
Do you remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
vocal. Yeah. Push it.
Yeah, there you go. Exceder, made by Mason. Go on, Mason.
Maybe 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone said 3, but this is where they might be a bit behind.
Yeah, there could be a lot.
They could have had Body Rocks as 3.
Okay.
DJ Shane Bond said 6. We've gone 5.
Could have been a 6.
We're filling the middle ground here, so we always do this.
This is not
7.
7.
What's 7.
It, what is it?
Same man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone else said 7.
I'm feeling this one. Let me just search for one that isn't in here, but it has to be in here, so bear with me one sec.
Oh, have we got any Deadmau5 in this? Oh.
Sorry, no, wrong song.
No, yeah. I do like that song.
More like dance than
sorry.
Electro.
Was that at night? Shakedown that.
This one.
Yeah.
Music at night.
Oh, see, I love this.
Yes.
It reminds me of...
This is the one.
There it is.
2?
That wasn't in that playlist, but I've added it because I just thought of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, to it.
Is it at night?
It is at night, yeah.
Whose remix was this?
This is Dave Spoon.
Do you remember?
This is the original.
Do you remember every word?
Yeah, every word.
Dave Spoon, Shadow Child, isn't it?
Yeah, he's Shadow Child. Yeah. What we got here then? What you got left?
We're 6 and 1.
6 and 1.
We always do this.
Yes. It's easy to fill up from the middle, isn't
it? Oh, but if the next two are great, I'm going to be... right. Oh.
Oh. Again, another pivotal moment in music.
Big up every track every time.
Right, Crookers, day and night.
And big up A-Track because he literally brought this.
He brought that whole thing together, didn't he?
It wouldn't exist without him.
Go and listen to our podcast with A-Track we did a couple of years ago.
God, that was such a banger. Oh, if this next one's really good.
You're going to be fuming.
Loads of people said one for that one, so yeah.
Oh, you're going to be fuming, boys.
It should be two. We should have put a night on there.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorites.
This is it, isn't it?
Oh my god. That instant goosebumps.
The egg.
Yeah, this was on like car advert.
Car advert. Citroen C4.
It was the car advert that launched. The car advert basically launched like Electro House.
Yeah, basically.
Was it David Guetta had something to do with this?
David Guetta was
Guetta.
Every time.
Yeah, we need a little jingle for that every time he calls him Guetta.
That one.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, the egg. Love, don't let me go.
Don't let me go. Okay.
Oh, I'm annoyed with that.
See, I said that earlier, and I was waiting for that, but yeah, we kind of messed that one up. I like the rest of it.
Yeah.
I just think the egg needed to be higher, definitely higher.
Well, I'm listening to Electro House for all weekend.
Three or two. Okay, so should we run through it?
Yeah, let's
go. Seven, Same Man. Six, Love, Don't Let Me Go. Five, Exceder. Four, Yeah, Yeah, Body Rocks. Three, Put Your Hands Up for Detroit. Two, At Night. And one, Crookers, Day and Night.
Just trying to look for that Dave Spoon track.
Everywhere. Is it not even on Spotify?
I don't think it's on Spotify. Everywhere, Dave Spoon.
Oh.
Dave Spoon.
You need to go through the vinyls.
It's the vocal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, right. Well.
Oh, I need a lie down.
This has been fun, but intense.
Is there any? By the way, guys, as always, thanks for listening and thanks for tuning in. On, totally forgot to mention. By the way, we did our Spotify Wraps last week, which is always a fun thing. But there's a podcast one as well. So we found out some amazing stats. I won't bore you with them all, but basically the podcast has gone up about 380% this year, which isn't just a mad thing.
Unreal.
We're 3,000 of you have got us in your top 10 podcasts, which is like mind-blowing. So just a big thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We've got a couple more until Christmas, some fun ones coming up before we have a little break over Christmas time, but we've absolutely loved doing this podcast. It has been even the last couple of months has just taken on a different level. We look forward next year to expanding the format, taking it different places, bringing in different guests.
We've got the yearly roundup coming up as well.
We've got the yearly roundup coming up of all kind of stuff. And then, hopefully next year we can sit down. We can have a podcast. The only podcast in the world who stands up.
Yeah.
But we'll fix that. But yeah, again, honestly, serious note, thank you so much if you listen on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen, or YouTube as well. Thank you so much. We always like to give some value back as well. So there is always a discount code. So if you want to learn with us, just go to wearecrossfader.co.uk. Check out any of our DJ courses online. And just use the code Off The Record. And Off The Record will just get you 20% off any DJ course with us. A big shout out to all of our new students as well that purchased a course on Black Friday. There were thousands of you, so welcome. If you need anything, our email, our DMs are always open. If you need any questions, you need any help or anything like that, that's amazing. Should we finish? Do you want to end on? Is there a couple more comments you saved there?
I think they were related to the social media.
We'll
stuff,
save them for next week. But okay. Thank you so much for tuning in again. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And we will be back next week with a lot less stress. See you later.
Thank you.